Alright. Written by Alrighty87 and read by Pause Assault. A Mordautzer pick. Summary. How, after a year, Wei Wuxian finally has time to think about what it really means to be in a stranger's body. We're going to Lotus Pier. Jin Ling gripped his arm, pulling up with more force than Wei Wuxian thought was strictly necessary. The movement jostled his shoulder, sending stabbing pain down his side. An old injury of Mozart news he'd only recently discovered. Oh yeah, be gentle to your poor Daiju. He fell limp in Jin Ling's hold, letting his nephew hold up the full weight of Mozart news slim body. Not that it changed much. Jin Ling didn't even seem to notice. That was disappointing. A long, whining sigh escaped from his lips as he flopped on the ground. Play the role. Be the silly idiot uncle that Jin Ling would be ashamed to leave this room with. It was better than trying to explain that he shouldn't go back. Lotus Pier was better off if he never set foot there again. You're fine. Stop being dramatic. Jin Ling changed his hold, lifting him straight off the ground. Ah, to be young. And have a call. His smile softened into something quieter as Wei Wuxian watched his nephew thrive. Good.
If anything, I am the victim here. Do you know how many times I have had to hear Juju complain that you won't visit?
Chang Chang would complain more if Wei Wuxian showed up uninvited.
And you doom me to listen to the complaints of my dear husband?
He placed a hand on his forehead, a deep, swooning sigh escaping from his lips.
Take me away from my marriage bed, my poor Jun Jun doomed to spend another night without me.
There, Jin Ling would shoo him away, between a threat of bringing down a grumpy Hangguan Jun or a reminder of how shameless Wei Wuxian was, his darling nephew was bound to kick him out of Jin Lin Tai now. Then he could start the long walk in the opposite direction, back to the cloud recesses. Jiang Cheng wouldn't need to see him anytime soon, and Lan Jian would see him sooner than expected. A win-win for everyone. Jin Ling, apparently, was the only one who didn't think so. He expected the usual look of teenage disgust, but instead, his nephew's expression crumbled into one of heartbreaking disappointment. Please, Daiju. And that was that. There was no way Wei Wuxian could say no now. Not when Jin Ling stared, pleading with wide eyes, so hopeful and expecting. The ghost of Shujie passed in front of him. Jin Ling would be the death of him. Oh well, it wasn't the worst reason to go out.
Fine, fine.
Slowly he got to his feet, groaning as he rolled his shoulder back into place. At least a walk to Lotus Pier would give him some time to think about how to face Jiang Cheng. He hadn't faced his brother since the disaster at Guanyin Temple and had fully planned on keeping it that way until temperatures had a chance to die down. However, knowing Jiang Cheng, he would have been an old man by then. Wei Wuxian started towards the door with a lazy wave before he could change his mind.
See you in 3 days, Aling. Don't be ridiculous.
Jin Ling quickly caught up to him, walking backwards in front of him as Wei Wuxian tried in vain to sneak past.
Flying is so much faster.
The smile he'd carefully crafted faltered. It made sense. Logically, he knew that. Jin Ling was an excellent flyer. It was evident that Jiang Cheng had taught him the fluid, gracefully erratic maneuvers that look careless to anyone who wasn't from the Yongmang Jiang clan. But Wei Wuxian had only just managed not to freak out when flying with his husband. Lan Jian had the patience of the gods, gently reassuring him with words and touch that he would never let Wei Ying fall. With Lan Jian's strong arms around him, Wei Wuxian could almost believe that flying could be something other than terrifying.
It's fine. Jung-chan can wait a few more days to kill me. He laughed just a bit too loudly for it to pass as normal.
Jinling frowned, crossing his arms as his eyes scanned over Wei Wuxian, trying to figure it out. Softer than before, he exclaimed, "Don't joke like that. Besides, Juju hates that rumor." It was a lie, anyway. Jung-chan had been no more or less responsible than anyone else who had taken part in the siege. He liked to believe that his brother hadn't raised his weapons to the innocents there, that the crime and viscera came from the army of the dead. There was no way to find out, unless Wei Wuxian mustered the courage to ask. When it came to his death, however, there was no doubt. The backlash, the creatures that came to rip in peace by agonizing peace, that had all been him. Yet the whole Zhanghu still believed it was Sanlu Sangxiao who finally brought down the Yiling Laozu. He was pretty sure that even Lan Zhan still blamed Jiang Cheng, too. Shamefully, Wei Wuxian realized that he hadn't exactly done anything to dissuade the rumors. Only Jin Ling, right now, was trying to prove otherwise. "This is really important to you," he half whispered to himself. Jin Ling rarely asked him for anything. So many uncertainties marked their relationship right now in that awkward phase where they were trying to learn to be a family, years too late. If Wei Wuxian turned him down, who knew how much damage it would do? With a steadying breath, which he hoped came off as the sigh of a long-suffering uncle, he nodded. "Fine. We'll do it your way." Jin Ling's small, surprised smile was worth it. As they approached the staircase, his bravado nearly left him completely. Jin Ling carefully pulled out Sui Hua, guiltily presenting his sword. It took Wei Wuxian a second to connect the change in his nephew. Why would Jin Ling be nervous to show his sword to him? Oh. Right. He'd forgotten. Wei Wuxian had forgiven him, of course, before they'd even left for the burial mounds. He'd told Jin Ling as much when the poor kid tried to apologize. How could he explain now that this stupid fear wasn't at all connected to Jin Ling or the potential of being stabbed again? Swallowing down the building panic, he gave Jin Ling a broad smile, gesturing for him to go first. His fingers buried themselves in Jin Ling's robes. "Don't look down." There had once been a time when Wei Wuxian leapt at the chance to hop onto Sui Bian and take to the skies. The freedom flying had given him was like nothing else. He could spend all day among the clouds. His core had been bottomless, providing an endless supply of energy. Up there alone, with only his thoughts and Sui Bian, sometimes he'd let himself enter a freefall, just to feel the wind speed past him as the earth approached with thrilling speed. He would pull himself out of the fall only seconds before he crashed into the water, much to the distress of the other disciples. It had become a tradition to pull the stunt in front of the littlest Shidays and Shumays when they first started training. Poor things, honestly expected to watch their Da Shishong become a squished mess. But it had earned him their everlasting admiration, and the excitement to be just like him erased their initial fears of flying. Wei Wuxian was selfishly glad they couldn't see him now, shaking in fear, gripping onto his nephew for dear life. Jin Ling didn't comment, flew much slower than Wei Wuxian knew he was capable of, and somehow that made it almost worse. The unusual silence did nothing to help calm his nerves, engaging nothing to distract himself from watching the ground whiz below them. High. So far off the ground. Still survivable, Wei Wuxian knew from experience, but not without catastrophic injuries. His first body had barely made it, broken and bent, his stomach rubbed raw from dragging his useless legs behind him. It had made a mess of Qing Jie's neat stitches. It was impossible not to think about the sounds his bones had made on impact when they began the descent into Lotus Pier, of seeing the white shards sticking up through his knees, even when Jin Ling gently lowered them to the ground. Wei Wuxian all but collapsed on the dock, his fingers gripping into the wood with enough force that several tiny splinters buried in his hands. He was vaguely aware of Jinling trying to say something, but the white sat had drowned out his words. At one point, he's pretty sure Jinling dashed off. He tried in vain to cut it out. Everything was fine. They were in Lotus Pier. Got there in one piece. So why wouldn't Mo Xuan Yu's body stop shaking? What are you doing here? Zheng Zhong approached, striding towards him, a sharp glare pinning him in place. Wei Wuxian just managed to pull his eyes off the ground to catch the sight of a very scared-looking Jinling beside him. What's wrong with you? He tried to say something, to joke that he was fine, that everything was just great, but his lungs cried out for air that he just couldn't catch. This was so pathetic. Wei Wuxian was better than this. He was once the Yiling Lao Tzu, who met death with a smile. Now he couldn't handle a short flight between Lotus Pier and Jinlin Tai. A firm hand gripped his arm, yanking him up. He flinched, waiting for Zheng Zheng to shout, maybe kick him out of Lotus Pier. You're fine. Was he? This body didn't remember the fall. Mo Xuan Yu never saw the earth come speeding towards him. All of that was in the past. It shouldn't affect him anymore. He stared wide-eyed at his brother, waiting for Zheng Cheng to continue, to yell, to shake him out of it. None of that happened. Zheng Cheng stood there, propping him up, waiting with him for the panic to ebb away. So that part was true. What? He blinked, trying to puzzle out Zheng Cheng's words. Which part? Wei Wuxian didn't realize that he'd spoken the last bit out loud until Zheng Cheng gave him an odd look. He joked about it. He flinched at the venom in his brother's voice. Zheng Cheng released him immediately, taking a step back with his hands raised. Sharp grey eyes narrowing into a familiar scowl, the flicker of anger was like seeing an old friend. Doesn't matter. You finally decided to show your face. This he could deal with. Wei Wuxian laughed shakily, rubbing the tip of his nose as he gave a sheepish shrug. What can I say? Your nephew won't take no for an answer. Zheng Cheng opened his mouth, but closed it sharply. Whatever. Are you going to come in or not? Oh, what a coward the Yiling Lao Tzu had become. If it hadn't been for Jinling's shaky nod, peeking around Zheng Cheng's shoulder, he would have turned right around. Zheng Cheng didn't give him any time to think about it before turning back through the dates. Juju! Jinling trotted after his uncle, looking very much like the kid of 16 he was. No trace of Jin Zhongzhu in sight. Who are you calling Juju, landing in Lotus Pier without invitation? Yep, he called it. Oh, Cheng Cheng, be nice to your poor Ling Ling. You worked so hard. Wei Wuxian teased as he sped up after them, dodging the arm that reached out to whack him. He made sure to stay out of reach, arms resting casually behind his head. Last time Wei Wuxian was in Lotus Pier, there hadn't been a chance of taking the changes. Zheng Cheng hadn't wasted the 13 years. Any damage from the wall had long since disappeared. The setting sun illuminated the new sections, adding to the maze. Zheng Cheng continued to grumble at Jin Ning about bringing him here late and without warning. The bickering tugged at memories from better times, at a time when their words were nothing more than a game to see who would react first. Absorbed in the admiration of Zheng Cheng's work over the last 14 years and listening to the other two, Wei Wuxian didn't register that they had stopped until Jinling's arms tugged at him before he could wander off. Jinling looked between them, confused and tentatively hopeful. Good night, Juju. Night, Dajiu. Poking Zheng Cheng, before taking a large step back and running with a cast of, be nice. He's a good kid. I know. An unusually soft smile played at the corner of Zheng Cheng's lips as he opened the door. He's still a brat, though. It was then that he realized where they had stopped. These are... His voice trailed off.
This used to be his room.
Zhang Shuxiu had assigned it to him when he'd become the first disciple. It had been one of the few rooms that Wen Qiao hadn't completely destroyed. To this day, he couldn't figure out why he hadn't. For pride, the gloat, or maybe Wen Ying had asked to use them, Wei Wuxian had shoved away the curiosity. The room was intact, which was a non-priority in the grand scheme of it all. After the war, there hadn't been time to think too much about it before he'd left Lotus Pier for good. "It's yours," Zheng Cheng said, as if that explained anything. Wei Wuxian expected it to be stripped bare, left empty for the new Da Xuxiang. A pile of purple nightrobe with the 9-petal lotus crest sat folded on the bed, a silent accusation. Madame Yu would roll in her grave if she knew he had the audacity to so much as touch robes marked for the inner family. The robes in his closet draped over him, the sleeves and hems comically large, drowning him in fabric. "And these were made after the war," Wei Wuxian muttered to himself with a sorrowful laugh. Even starving and having lost most of his muscle mass, his old body was still so much larger than Mo Chuan Yu's. Wei Wuxian really wished Jinling hadn't been in such a hurry, and had at least given him the chance to retrieve his supplies from Little Apple's saddlebags. There was no way he could wear any of the things he'd left behind. Oh well. He would just have to go before he had to wash the set of robes he had on him. He gave a weary sigh and crawled into his old bed, dreaming of sleep that never came. In the morning, he rose, dragged himself back into his robes, and went to the dining hall. Jinling and Zheng Cheng were already halfway through the meal. "Zhaju, come sit next to me." Jinling patted the seat next to him as the servant placed a serving. He had to eat, even if the thought of doing so made his stomach tie into knots. "Guests don't go hungry in Lotus Pier," Zheng Cheng pointed out, half accusingly. The spice felt heavier, and he could almost excuse her tears on the peppers. He coughed, heaving for breath, and reached for the tea. Shijie used to say that. Somehow, she'd managed to do it, even after the war, when they had nothing. Zheng Yinli could make a simple meal of fish and lotus root taste heavenly. "Don't die." Zheng Cheng rolled his eyes, voice drier than a desert. "Again." The laughter came out in another round of Hall's choking. "Juju, you can't say that!" Jinling looked scandalized, eyes flitting frantically between them. Zheng Cheng set his chopsticks down with a sharp click. "What is wrong with you?" "Nothing, nothing!" He shoved the hot dry noodles into his mouth, the flakes of chili a welcome distraction from the interrogation. "Just a little restless." The unfamiliar sounds and whispers of lingering ghosts had kept him up until the early morning. The night dragged on as Wei Wuxian stared at the ceiling, his mind unable to rest or focus. If he had been home in the Jingxia, he would have carefully slipped out of Lan Chan's arms and dedicated himself to working out a new talisman. Here, though, Wei Wuxian couldn't bring himself to search for supplies. It felt wrong, as if he were intruding on someone else's space. "Spar with me." "What?" He reeled back to face Zheng Cheng. They hadn't sparred since before they went to the One Indoctrination. "I can't use... A training sword doesn't need one." "Like nephew, like uncle." Zheng Cheng, though, was much less friendly about it. No pleading looks or nice words, his brother just snatched him by the elbow and started dragging him to the training ground. No matter how much Wei Wuxian protested, Zheng Cheng's steps didn't so much as falter. Da Xuxiang, a young disciple, someone Wei Wuxian didn't recognize, handed him a dull blade. Startled, he reached out, and before Wei Wuxian could correct the little shitty, he'd run off. He spun the training sword, testing the balance. It had been years since Wei Wuxian last used a sword, and he wasn't sure if this body ever wielded one. Most Wan Yu's core certainly didn't have the chi necessary to use a spiritual weapon. He'd learned that the hard way after their mad dash from Jinlin time. Sui Bian had been eager, so excited to be used again after so many years, that it pulled on his fragile golden core like the desert did the rain. The sword would kill him. Wei Wuxian realized it the second the blade was in his hand, but the situation demanded it. Don't fool around. Jiang Cheng stood, with an equally dull blade in his left hand, at the ready. A thrill of excitement flickered into being. The Jiang style demanded constant movement, to weave in and out of your opponent's attacks, using their own momentum against them to launch a series of quick counterattacks. In an equal fight, whoever attacked first would be at a disadvantage. Jiang Cheng didn't waste a beat. He whirled, spinning back on his heel to dodge Jiang Cheng's thrust. Fighting with only a flute meant he had to get really good at dodging. Jiang Cheng could take a direct blow, but neither of his buddies could. Twisting, he lunged, making a slash at Jiang Cheng's knee. It was a dirty move, and an unexpected one, landing right where he intended. But the blow barely even slowed Jiang Cheng down. Stop acting like you're in your old body. Jiang Cheng's draining blade crashed into his forearm. His sharp pain lanced up, spreading like a wildfire until it settled into a cold numbness at his shoulder. Most Wan Yu's injured shoulder. Nausea gripped him. The wrongness of it all threatened to drown him. This wasn't his body. A shell, emptied by a young man who truly believed he had been worth less than nothing, that the Yiling Lao Tzu was somehow worthier. He hadn't noticed Jiang Cheng's approach until a glint of Zi Jian appeared in the corner of his vision. Let me see. Don't touch me! He recoiled away from Jiang Cheng's outstretched hand. A look of hurt flashed across his brother's face. It would be just like before. Jiang Cheng would storm off to nurse the thing of the rebuke, leaving Wei Wuxian alone to piece back his devil-may-care attitude. It was better that way. A pair of strong hands gripped him by the shoulders, and a face full of water greeted him. Jiang Cheng! You're fine. Purple rope fell to the deck. Kicking his boots off, Jiang Cheng dived in, the water barely rippling with the perfect dive. Wei Wuxian waited, and then waited some more. But when Jiang Cheng still didn't emerge, a wide grin took hold. No time to waste. He wiggled free of his robes, throwing the sopping wet fabric onto the deck, and took off after his brother. This was stupid. Mo Xuanyu's legs ached with the unfamiliar motion, and he had to resurface frequently to draw in quick breaths. It didn't matter. These were the waters he grew up in. Even if his body was foreign, the lakes held the memories for him. The feeling of slimy fish scales beneath his fingers, picking lotus pods with the little Shijie's after a long day of training, of Shijie's laughter as he and Jiang Cheng wrestled in the shallows. Eventually, his body remembered how to glide through the water, the motion coming back in awkward pieces. Gasping for air, he surfaced, seeing exactly where Jiang Cheng had led him to. Broken planks with burnt edges, the sunken boat with the Yu and Jiang crest still clinging to memories of their faded prime. Madame Yu's quarters. Why here? Because I could. Jiang Cheng shrugged, resting back on the palms of his hands. Gingerly, Wei Wuxian pulled him out of the water. He'd never been in this area before. These were Madame Yu's private rooms, the ones where she sought refuge from her husband and a certain annoying brat she hadn't wanted around in the first place. I'm not allowed here. You're allowed wherever I say you are. I'm Jiang Zongzu. Jiang Cheng patted the section of dock next to him, scooting over to give Wei Wuxian more of the patch of sun. What's wrong? You've been weirder than usual ever since you got here. He could lie, should laugh it off and say something stupid that he knew would annoy Jiang Cheng. But after the swim, warmed by the midday light,
He didn't have another lie left in him. These scars aren't mine. He looked down at his knees, a pockmarked skin staring up at him. Wei Wuxian didn't know the story behind them. Were they from kneeling on rice in punishment? An accident? Did anyone take care of them afterwards? All these unanswerable questions shouldn't bother him so much. There was nothing he could do about it. Once Wenyu's soul was shredded, destroyed so completely that neither inquiry nor summoning could bring it back. No, all those stories died the second Wei Wuxian drew breath in his new life. Zheng Cheng watched him carefully, waiting for him to finish. I get it, he said, fingers reaching to brush over the deep, rich scars that ran along his chest. I hate these things. Wei Wuxian looked away, training his eyes on their reflections in the water. He knew that. Shame for being captured, pain of wounds that still hadn't closed when Wei Wuxian had left the burial mounds, a reminder of the worst time in their lives. But if given the option, I wouldn't get rid of them. Wei Wuxian didn't get that choice. What does your husband think? Feng Qian? He ignored Zheng Cheng's muttered, who else? Knocking his elbow into his brother's side. He doesn't care. He loves me no matter what body I'm in. Wei Wuxian knew that it was true. Lan Jian's love was written into his soul, an anchor that held him when the questions grew too loud to ignore. But sometimes, I think he preferred the first one. He looked down at hands that weren't his. His parents had given him an excellent body, one that could take whatever the world dealt him. Injury or sickness could never hold him down for long. Even after the burial mounds, after being broken and shattered beyond recognition, his body still continued to function. It wasn't that he was ungrateful. Mo Xuanyu sacrificed his soul to give Wei Wuxian his body. Here, he had a second chance, got to marry the man he loved, and see Ayuan all grown up. However, if he forgot to eat, overwhelming waves of dizziness would make it impossible for him to stand. Lan Jian would sometimes find him on the floor of the Jingxi, trying to gather the strength to get up. If he was traveling alone? Well, he had been lucky so far that Lan Jian kept Little Apple's saddlebags well stocked. Wei Wuxian would never forgive himself if he died. Again. For such a stupid reason. Injuries were worse. It didn't make sense. Mo Xuanyu had a core, even if it was tiny and partially useless, but it was still better than nothing. When Zheng Cheng had stabbed him, Wei Wuxian had sealed the wound shut with resentment and moved on. A moment of hurt that had nothing to do with the gaping wound in his side. When Jinling had done the same, the fear in Lan Jian's eyes when he first woke up wasn't something he ever wanted to repeat. Over a year later, the wound still ached after it rained. I can't blame him, Wei Wuxian finished lamely. If he wasn't the most perfect husband in the world, no way would he have known who it was. I recognized you, Zheng Cheng nudged him. First, by the way. You thought every demonic cultivator was me for like, what, 13 years? But he couldn't deny it. Somehow, the makeup, the axe, the new body, hadn't been enough to hide behind. Zheng Cheng had known. Doesn't it bother you? That you're still the same idiot? Not really. Zheng Cheng pushed his elbow into his ribs, knocking him back into the lake. Wei Wuxian spluttered as he sent a spray of water at his brother. That was how Jinling found them, breathless with laughter and playing in the lake like two boys, as they had been once, before secrets and death tore them apart. In that moment, the past bled away, leaving only brothers, at home in Lotus Pier, just like their story began all those years ago. The End.